This is Audible.
Ask and it is given, Learning to Manifest Your Desires, written by Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks, narrated by Carl H. Martins. Words of praise for the teachings of Abraham and Ask and it is given. This is, plain and simple, one of the most powerful books I've ever read. One's entire life can change because of what is found here, and all given with such love. This book is a life treasure. Neil Donald Walsh, the author of Conversations with God. I've been a huge fan of the teachings of Abraham for 10 years. They've helped me and my family tremendously. Christine Northrup, M.D., the author of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. One of the most valuable things about Ask and It Is Given is that Abraham gives us 22 different powerful processes to achieve our goals. No matter where we are, there's a process that can make our lives better. I love this book, and I love Esther and Jerry Hicks. Louise L. Hay, the author of You Can Heal Your Life. This is a great book. My wife and I have enjoyed these profound and extremely practical Abraham teachings for several years. We trust that you will benefit as well. We recommend it to all our friends. John Gray, Ph.D., the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. A publishing milestone. You'll be fortunate to tap into the thinking of those who are permanently connected to source energy. Moreover, these voices of spirit speak in a language you'll understand and be able to instantly translate into action. They offer you no less than a blueprint for understanding and implementing your own destiny. Dr. Wayne W. Dyer, the author of The Power of Intention. The Abraham Hicks teachings have inspired me to a grand new level of clarity, confidence, purpose, and passion. I study these ideas constantly and recommend them to everyone I can. They are among the most powerful and transformational I have ever encountered. Live them, and your life will become new and brilliantly happy. Alan Cohen, the author of A Deep Breath of Life. These incredibly profound yet simple and practical teachings of Abraham will have you trusting your inner guidance again and will set you on course for the most uplifting adventures imaginable. Ask and It Is Given is the roadmap to self-upliftment and a joyous life. Jack Canfield, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul series. This is one of the best books about manifestation that I've read in a long time. I appreciate how the book presents profound truths in such a down-to-earth way. The book's refreshing tone is supportive, loving, and completely positive. I'm giving away copies of Ask and It Is Given to everyone I know. I love and highly recommend this book. Doreen Virtue, Ph.D., the best-selling author of Angel Medicine. This book is dedicated to all of you who, in your desire for enlightenment and well-being, have asked the questions this book has answered, and to 3 delightful children of our children who are examples of what this book teaches, Laurel 5, Kevin 3, and Kate 2, who are not yet asking because they have not yet forgotten. And these teachings are especially dedicated to Louise Hay, whose desire to ask and learn and disseminate around this planet the principles of well-being has led her to ask us to create this comprehensive book of the teachings of Abraham. Foreword by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer, the best-selling author of The Power of Intention. Dedication. This book is dedicated to all of you who, in your desire for enlightenment and well-being, have asked the questions this book has answered, and to 3 delightful children of our children who are examples of what the book teaches, Laurel 5, Kevin 3, and Kate 2, who are not yet asking because they have not yet forgotten. And these teachings are especially dedicated to Louise Hay, whose desire to ask and learn and disseminate around this planet the principles of well-being has led her to ask us to create this comprehensive book of the teachings of Abraham. The book you're holding in your hands at this moment contains some of the most powerful teachings available to you on our planet today. I've been profoundly touched and influenced by the messages that Abraham offers here in this book and through the tapes that Esther and Jerry have been providing over the past 18 years. In fact, I'm deeply honored that Abraham has asked me to provide a brief foreword to this book, which I consider to be a publishing milestone. It is unique in all of publishing. You'll be fortunate to tap into the thinking of those who are permanently connected to source energy. Moreover, these voices of spirit speak in a language you'll understand and be able to instantly translate into action. They offer you no less than a blueprint for understanding and implementing your own destiny. My first thought is that if you're not yet ready to read and apply this great wisdom, then I urge you to simply carry this book with you for a few weeks. Allow the energy that it contains to permeate through any resistance that your mind-body might offer, and let it resonate with that inner place that is formless and boundaryless. This is what is often called your soul, but Abraham would call it your vibrational connection to your source. This is a universe of vibration. As Einstein once observed, nothing happens until something moves. That is, everything vibrates to a particular, measurable frequency. Break the solid world down to smaller and tinier components, and you see that what appears to be solid is a dance of particles and empty spaces. Go to the tiniest of these quantum particles, and you discover that it emanated from a source that vibrates so fast that it defies the world of beginnings and endings. This highest, fastest energy is called source energy. You and everyone and everything originated in this vibration and then moved into the world of things, bodies, minds, and egos. It was in the leaving of this source energy in our bodies, minds, that we took on our entire world of problems, illnesses, scarcities, and fears. The teachings of Abraham essentially are focused on helping you to return in all respects to that source from which all things originate and return to as well. This source energy has a look and feel to it that I've touched upon in my book, The Power of Intention. Abraham, however, can offer this enlightening wisdom to you by having the benefit of being 100% connected to that source and never ever doubting that connection. It's evident in every paragraph of this book. That's why I call this a publishing milestone. You're in direct, conscious contact with a cadre of honest, no-nonsense beings who have only your well-being in mind. They'll remind you that you came from source of well-being and that you can either summon higher vibrational energy to yourself and allow it to flow unimpeded in every aspect of your life, or you can resist it, and by doing so, stay disconnected from which is all-providing and all-loving. The message here is quite startling and yet oh so simple. You came from a source of love and well-being. When you're matched up to that energy of peace and love, you then regain the power of your source, that being the power to manifest your desires, to summon well-being, to attract abundance where scarcity previously resided, and to access divine guidance in the form of the right people and the precisely correct circumstances. This is what your source does, and since you emanated from that source, you can and will do the same. I've spent a full day with Abraham in person. I've dined with Esther and Jerry, and I've listened to hundreds of Abraham's recordings, so you can take it from me firsthand. You're about to embark on a life-changing journey offered to you by two of the most authentic and spiritually pure people I've ever encountered. Jerry and Esther Hicks are as much in awe of their role in bringing these teachings to you as I am in writing this foreword for Abraham. I encourage you to read these words carefully and apply them instantly. They summarize an observation I've offered for many years now. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. You're about to see and experience a whole new world of changing right before your eyes. This is the world created by a source energy that wants you to reconnect to it and live a life of joyful well-being. Thank you, Abraham, for allowing me to say a few words in this precious, precious book. I love you, all of you. Wayne. Preface by Jerry Hicks. Sunlight is beginning to spill across the Malibu coastline as I begin this preface, and the deep indigo tint of the Pacific Ocean at this time of morning seems to match the depth of pleasure I'm feeling as I'm imagining the value you are about to receive from the revelations within this book. Ask and It Is Given is certainly a book about our asking, being answered by all that is, but it's primarily about how whatever we're asking for is being given to us, and it's also the first book to ever, in such clear terminology, give us the simple, practical formula for how to ask for, and then how to receive whatever we want to be, do, or have. Decades ago, while searching for plausible answers to my never-ending quest to know what it is all about, I discovered the word ineffable, meaning incapable of being expressed in words. Ineffable coincided with a conclusion I'd formed relative to it. I had decided that the closer we get to knowing the non-physical, the fewer words we have for clearly expressing it. And so, any state of complete knowing would also, therefore, be in a state of ineffability. In other words, at this point in our time-space reality, the non-physical cannot be clearly expressed with physical words. Throughout physical history, we've evolved to, through, and into billions of philosophies, religions, opinions, and beliefs. Yet, with the billions upon billions of thinkers thinking, concluding, and passing their beliefs on to the next generations, we have not, at least not in any words we can agree on, found physical words to express the non-physical. Recorded history has retained some form of documentation of but a few of the many beings who have consciously communicated with non-physical intelligence. Some were revered, while some were damned by others. Most, however, who have been conscious of personal communication with the non-physical, perhaps in fear of being damned or even institutionalized, have decided to go and tell no one about their revelations. Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, Joan of Arc, Joseph Smith, to name but a few of those better known to the English-speaking world, were each outspoken recipients of non-physical intelligence, most of whom met with quite untimely and horrible physical ends. And so, although each of us is directly receiving some form of non-physical guidance, only a few receive blocks of non-physical thought that are clear enough to be translated into our physical words, and of those few, fewer still are willing to disclose their experience to others. I remind you of this information as a preface to what you're about to read, for my wife, Esther, is one of those rare persons who can, at will, relax her conscious mind enough to allow the reception of non-physical answers to whatever is asked. Somehow, Esther receives blocks of thought, not words, and just as a Spanish-English translator would hear a thought projected in Spanish words and then translate the thought, not the actual words, into English words, Esther instantly translates the non-physical thought into its closest physical English word equivalent. Please note that since there aren't always physical English words to perfectly express the non-physical thought that Esther receives, she sometimes forms new combinations of words, as well as using standard words in new ways. For example, capitalizing them when normally they would not be, in order to express new ways of looking at life. And for that reason, we've created a brief glossary at the back of this book in order to clarify our uncommon usage of some common words. In other words, there is the common term well-being, meaning the state of being happy, healthy, or prosperous. But the basis of Abraham's uncommon philosophy is translated into English as well-being. It's about the broader, universal, non-physical well-being that flows naturally to all of us, unless we do something to pinch it off. Also, within the text, we will initially put in quotation marks any coined words that you don't find in any dictionary, but whose meanings are obvious, such as overwhelmment or endedness. Since 1986, Esther and I have traveled to about 50 cities a year, presenting workshops, and any of the attendees can discuss or pose questions on whatever subject they want to talk about. No subjects are off limits. People have come by the thousands, from different ethnic groups, from different walks of life, from different philosophical backgrounds, all wanting to improve life in some way, either directly for themselves or indirectly by assisting others. And to those thousands who have asked for more, the answers have been given through Esther Hicks from Non-Physical Intelligence. And so, in response to the asking by those like you who want to know more, this philosophy of well-being has evolved into the creation of this book. At the heart of these teachings is the most powerful law of the universe, the law of attraction. Over the past decade, we've published much of Abraham's teachings in our quarterly journal, The Science of Deliberate Creation, which has highlighted the newest perspectives gleaned from questions posed by the attendees of our Art of Allowing workshops. As such, this philosophy is continually evolving as more of you bring to our attention your newest questions and perspectives. This book offers you a hands-on course in spiritual practicality. It's a how-to book in the broadest sense of the term. That is, how to be, do, or have anything that pleases you. This book also teaches you how not to be, do, or have anything that displeases you. Cherry. An Introduction to Abraham by Esther Hicks. She speaks with spirits, our friend said. She'll be here next week, and you can make an appointment with her and ask her anything you like. That's about the last thing on this earth that I would ever want to do, I thought. But at the same time, I heard Jerry, my husband, saying, we really would like to make an appointment. How do we go about doing that? That was in 1984, and in the 4 years that we'd been married, we'd never had an argument or even exchanged cross words. We were two joyous people living happily ever after with each other, and compatible on nearly every subject that came up. The only discomfort that I ever felt was when Jerry would entertain friends with one of his stories from 20 years earlier, relating his experience with the Ouija board. If we were at a restaurant or some other public place where I sensed one of those stories coming on, I would politely, or sometimes not so politely, excuse myself and retreat to the ladies' room, sit in the bar, or take a walk to the car until I believed that sufficient time had passed and the account would be over. Happily, Jerry eventually stopped telling those stories when I was around. I wasn't what you'd call a religious girl, but I attended enough Sunday school classes to develop very strong fear of evil and the devil. Thinking back, I'm not really sure if our Sunday school teachers had actually devoted a greater proportion of our classes to teaching us to fear the devil, or if that's simply what stood out in my mind. But that is, for the most part, what I remember from those years. So, as I'd been taught, I carefully avoided anything that could possibly have any connection to the devil. One time, when I was a young woman, I was sitting in a drive-in theater and happened to look out the back window of the car at the other movie screen and saw a horrible scene from The Exorcist, a movie that I'd purposely avoided seeing. And what I saw, without hearing the sound, affected me so strongly that I had nightmares for weeks. Her name is Sheila, our friend told Jerry. I'll make the appointment for you and let you know. Jerry spent the next few days writing down his questions. He said he had some that he'd saved up since he was a small child. I didn't make a list. Instead, I struggled with the idea of going at all. As we pulled into the driveway of a beautiful house in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona, I remember thinking, what am I getting myself into? We walked up to the front door, and a very nice woman greeted us and showed us into a lovely living room where we could wait for our scheduled appointment. The house was large, simply, but beautifully furnished, and very quiet. I remember feeling sort of a reverence, like being in a church. Then a door opened, and two pretty women dressed in fresh, brightly colored cotton blouses and skirts entered the room. Apparently, we were the first appointment after lunch. Both women looked happy and refreshed. I felt myself relax a little bit. Perhaps this wasn't going to be so weird after all. Soon we were invited into a lovely bedroom where three chairs were situated near the foot of the bed. Sheila was sitting on the edge of the bed, and her assistant sat in one of the chairs with a small tape recorder on the table beside her. Jerry and I sat in the other two chairs, and I braced myself for whatever was about to happen. The assistant explained that Sheila was going to relax and release her consciousness, and then Theo, a non-physical entity, would address us. When that happened, we'd be free to talk about anything we desired. Sheila lay across the end of the bed, only a few feet from where we were seated, and breathed deeply. Soon, an unusual-sounding voice abruptly said, "It is the beginning, is it not? You have questions?" I looked at Jerry, hoping that he was ready to start, because I knew that I was not ready to talk with whoever was now speaking to us. Jerry leaned forward, as he was eager to ask his first question. I relaxed as Theo's words slowly came out of Sheila's mouth, and while I knew that it was Sheila's voice we were hearing, I somehow also knew that something far different from Sheila was the source of these marvelous answers. Jerry said he'd been saving his questions up since he was 5 years old, and he asked them as rapidly as he could. Our 30 minutes passed so quickly, but during that time, somehow, without my speaking a word, my fear of this strange experience lifted, and I was filled with a feeling of well-being that surpassed anything that I'd ever felt before. Once back inside our car, I told Jerry, "I'd really like to come back tomorrow. There are some things I would like to ask." Jerry was delighted to make another appointment, because he had more questions on his list as well. About halfway through our allotted time on the following day, Jerry reluctantly relinquished the remaining minutes to me, and I asked Theo, "How can we more effectively achieve our goals?" The answer came back, "Meditation and affirmations." The idea of meditation didn't appeal to me at all, and I wasn't aware of anyone who practiced it. In fact, when I thought of the word, it brought to mind people lying on beds of nails, walking on hot coals, standing on one foot for years, or begging for donations at the airport. So I asked, "What do you mean by meditation?" The answer was short, and the words felt good as I heard them. "Sit in a quiet room, wear comfortable clothing, and focus on your breathing. As your mind wanders, and it will, release the thought and focus upon your breathing. It would be good for you to do it together. It will be more powerful." "Could you give us an affirmation that would be of value for us to use?" we asked. "I, say your name, see and draw to me, through divine love, those beings who seek enlightenment through my process. The sharing will elevate us both now." As the words flowed from Sheila, Theo, I felt them penetrate to the core of my being. A feeling of love flowed to me and through me like nothing I'd ever felt before. My fear was gone. Jerry and I both felt wonderful. "Should we bring my daughter, Tracy, to meet you?" I asked.
"If it is her asking, but it is not necessary, for you too, Jerry and Esther, are channels."
That statement made no sense to me at all. I couldn't believe that I could be this old, in my 30s, and not already know something like that, if it were true. The tape recorder clicked off, and we both felt mild disappointment that our extraordinary experience was finished. Sheila's assistant asked if we had one last question. "Would you like to know the name of your spiritual guide?" she asked. I would never have asked that, for I had never heard the term spiritual guide, but it sounded like a good question. I liked the idea of guardian angels. So I said, "Yes, please, could you tell me the name of my spiritual guide?" Theo said,
"We are told it will be given to you directly. You will have a clairaudient experience, and you will know."
What is a clairaudient experience, I wondered. But before I could ask my question, Theo said with a tone of finality, "God's love unto you." And Sheila opened her eyes and sat up. Our extraordinary conversation with Theo had ended. After Jerry and I left the house, we drove to a lookout point on the side of one of the Phoenix Mountains and leaned against the car, staring off into the distance, watching the sunset. We had no idea of the transformation that had taken place within us that day. We only knew that we felt wonderful. When we returned home, I had two powerful new intentions. I was going to meditate, whatever in the world that meant, and I was going to find out the name of my spiritual guide. So we changed into our robes, closed the curtains in the living room, and sat in two large wing-back chairs with an étagère between us. We'd been encouraged to do this together, but it felt odd, and the étagère helped to mask the strangeness for some reason. I remembered Theo's instructions. Sit in a quiet room, wear comfortable clothing, and focus on your breathing. So we set a timer for 15 minutes, and I closed my eyes and began to breathe consciously. In my mind, I asked the question, "Who is my spiritual guide?" And then I counted my breath in and out, in and out. Right away, my entire body felt numb. I couldn't distinguish my nose from my toes. It was a strange but comforting sensation, and I enjoyed it. It felt as if my body was slowly spinning, even though I knew I was sitting in a chair. The timer rang and startled us, and I said, "Let's do it again." Once more, I closed my eyes, counted my breaths, and felt numb from head to toe. Again, the timer rang and startled us. "Let's do it again," I said. So we set the timer for another 15 minutes, and again I felt numbness overtake my entire body. But this time, something, or someone, began to breathe my body. From my vantage point, it felt like rapturous love moving from deep inside my body outward. What a glorious sensation! Jerry heard my soft sounds of pleasure and later said that to him, I appeared to be writhing in ecstasy. When the timer went off and I came out of the meditation, my teeth chattered like never before. Buzzed would have been a better word for the experience. For nearly an hour, my teeth buzzed as I tried to relax back into my normal state of awareness. At that time, I didn't realize what had happened, but I know now that I'd experienced my first contact with Abraham. While I didn't know what had happened, I did know that whatever it was good. And I wanted it to happen again. So Jerry and I made the decision to meditate every day for 15 minutes. I don't think we missed a day in the next 9 months. I felt the numbness or feeling of detachment each time, but nothing else extraordinary happened during our meditations. And then, right before Thanksgiving, 1985, while meditating, my head began to move gently from side to side. For the next few days, during meditation, my head would move in that gentle flowing motion. It was a lovely sensation that sort of felt like flying. And then, on about the third day of this new movement, during meditation, I realized that my head was not randomly moving about, but it was as if my nose was spelling letters in the air. M-N-O-P is what I realized it was. "Jerry," I shouted. "I'm spelling letters with my nose." And with those words, the rapturous feelings returned. Goosebumps covered my body from head to toe as this non-physical energy rippled through my body. Jerry quickly took out his notebook and began writing down the letters as my nose wrote them in the air. "I am Abraham. I am your spiritual guide." Abraham has since explained to us that there are many gathered there with them. They refer to themselves as the plural because they're a collective consciousness. They've explained that in the beginning, the words, "I am Abraham," were spoken through me only because my expectation for my spiritual guide was singular, but that there are many there with them, speaking, in a sense of the word, with one voice, or a consensus of thought. To quote Abraham, "Abraham is not a singular consciousness as you feel that you are in your singular bodies. Abraham is a collective consciousness. There is a non-physical stream of consciousness, and as one of you asks a question, there are many, many points of consciousness that are funneling through what feels to be the one perspective because there is, in this case, one human, Esther, who is interpreting or articulating it. So it appears singular to you. We are multidimensional and multifaceted and certainly multi-consciousness." Abraham has since explained that they're not whispering words into my ears, which I am repeating for others, but instead they're offering blocks of thought like radio signals, which I'm receiving at some unconscious level. I then translate those blocks of thought into the physical word equivalent. I hear the words as they're spoken through me, but during the translation process itself,
I have no awareness of what is coming or time for recollection of what has already come. Abraham explained that they have been offering these blocks of thought to me for quite some time, but I was so strictly trying to follow Theo's instructions, which said, "When your mind wanders, and it will, release the thoughts and focus on your breathing," that whenever one of these thoughts would begin, I would release it as quickly as possible and focus back upon my breathing. I guess the only way they could get through to me was to spell letters in the air with my nose. Abraham says that those wonderful sensations that rippled through my body when I realized that I was spelling words was the joy they felt upon my recognition of our conscious connection. Our communication process evolved rapidly over the next few weeks. The spelling of letters in the air with my nose was a very slow process, but Jerry was so excited about this clear and viable source of information that he would often wake me up in the middle of the night to ask Abraham questions. But then, one night, I felt a very strong sensation moving through my arms, hands, and fingers, and my hand began thumping on Jerry's chest as we lay in bed together watching television. As my hand continued to thump, I felt a very strong impulse to go to my IBM Selectric typewriter, and as I put my fingers on the keyboard, my hands began moving quickly up and down the keys, as if someone was quickly discovering what this typewriter was all about and where the specific letters were placed. And then my hands began to type, every letter, every number, again and again, and then the words began to take form on the paper. "I am Abraham. I am your spiritual guide. I am here to work with you. I love you. We will write a book together." We discovered that I could put my hands on the keyboard and then relax, much in the same way that I did during meditation, and that Abraham, who we will now refer to as they from here on in, would then answer questions about anything that Jerry would ask. It was an amazing experience. They were so intelligent, so loving, so available. Any time, day or night, they were there to talk to us about anything that we wanted to discuss. And then, one afternoon, while driving on a Phoenix freeway, I felt a sensation in my mouth, chin, and neck, similar to the familiar feeling of getting ready to yawn. It was a very strong impulse, so strong I couldn't stifle it. We were rounding a corner between two big trucks, and both of them seemed to be crossing the line into our lane at the same time, and I thought for a moment that they were going to drive right over the top of us. And in that very moment, the first words that Abraham spoke through my mouth burst out, "Take the next exit." We exited the freeway and parked in a lot underneath an overpass, and Jerry and Abraham visited for hours. My eyes were closed tightly, and my head moved up and down rhythmically as Abraham answered Jerry's stream of questions. How is it that this wonderful thing has happened to me? At times, as I think about it, I can hardly believe that it's true. It seems like the kind of thing that fairy tales are made of, almost like making a wish as you rub the magic lantern. At other times, it seems like the most natural, logical experience in the world. Sometimes I can barely remember what life was like before Abraham came into our lives. I have, with few exceptions, always been what most would call a happy person. I had a wonderful childhood with no major traumas, and along with two other sisters, I was born to kind and loving parents. As I mentioned, Jerry and I had been blissfully married for about 4 years, and I was, in every sense, living happily ever after. I wouldn't have described myself as someone filled with unanswered questions. In fact, I really wasn't asking many questions at all, and I hadn't formulated any strong opinions about much of anything. Jerry, on the other hand, was filled with passionate questions. He was a voracious reader, always looking for tools and techniques that he could pass along to others to help them live more joyous lives. To this day, I've never known anyone who wants more to help others live successful lives. Abraham has explained that the reason why Jerry and I are the perfect combination for doing this work together is because Jerry's powerful desire summoned Abraham, while my absence of opinions or angst made me a good receiver for the information that Jerry was summoning. Jerry was so enthusiastic, even in his first interactions with Abraham, because he understood the depth of their wisdom and the clarity of their offering,
And throughout all these years, his enthusiasm for Abraham's message hasn't waned in the least. No one in the room ever enjoys what Abraham has to say more than Jerry. In the beginning of our interactions with Abraham, we didn't really understand what was happening, and we had no real way of knowing whom Jerry was talking with, but it was still thrilling and amazing and wonderful and weird. It seemed so strange that I was certain that most people I knew wouldn't understand. They probably wouldn't even want to understand. As a result, I made Jerry promise that he would tell no one about our amazing secret. I guess it's now obvious that Jerry didn't keep that promise, but I'm not sorry about that. There's nothing that neither of us would rather do than be in a room filled with people who have things they'd like to discuss with Abraham. What we hear most often from people who meet Abraham through our books, videos, audio series, workshops, or websites is, "Thank you for helping me remember what I've somehow always known." And, "This has helped me tie together all the pieces of truth that I've found along the way. This has helped me make sense of everything." Abraham doesn't seem interested in forecasting our future as a fortune teller might, although I believe they always know what our future holds, but instead they're teachers who guide us from wherever we are to wherever we want to be. They've explained to us that it's not their work to decide what we should want, but it is their work to assist us in achieving whatever we desire. In Abraham's words, "Abraham is not about guiding anyone toward or away from anything. We want you to make all your decisions about your desires. Our only desire for you is that you discover the way to achieve your desires." My favorite thing that I've heard spoken about Abraham came to us from a teenage boy who had just listened to a recording in which Abraham was addressing some questions that teens had been asking. The boy said, "At first, I didn't believe that Esther was really speaking for Abraham, but when I heard the tape and heard Abraham's answers to these questions, I then knew that Abraham was real, because there was no judgment. I don't believe that any person could be so wise, so fair, and without judgment." For me, this journey with Abraham has been more wonderful than I can find words to explain. I adore the sense of well-being I've achieved from what I've learned from them. I love how their gentle guidance always leaves me with a feeling of self-empowerment. I love seeing the lives of so many of our dear friends and new friends improving through the application of what Abraham has taught them. I love these brilliant and loving beings pop into my head whenever I ask, always ready and willing to assist in our understanding of something. As an aside, several years after meeting with Sheila and Theo, Jerry looked up the name Theo in our dictionary. "The meaning of Theo," he joyously announced to me, "is God." How perfect that is! I smile as I reflect back on that wonderful day, which was such an extraordinary turning point for us. There I was, worried about interacting with evil, when I was, in fact, on my way to having a conversation with God. In the early days of our work with Abraham, our audiences wanted us to explain our relationship with Abraham. How did our meeting occur? How do you maintain your relationship? Why did they choose you? What is it like to be the speaker of such profound wisdom? So Jerry and I would spend a few minutes at the beginning of every speaking engagement or radio or television interview trying our best to satisfy those questions. But I always felt impatient with that part of our presentation. I just wanted to relax and allow Abraham's consciousness to begin flowing and to get on with what Jerry and I felt was the true reason we were standing there to begin with. "This morning, Abraham said to me, 'Esther, we are aware of the questions that are radiating from the mass consciousness of your planet, and here, through you, we will joyously offer the answers. Relax and enjoy the delicious unfolding of this book.' So I'm going to relax here and allow Abraham to immediately begin writing this book to you. I imagine that they will explain to you from their perspective who they are, but more important, I believe that they will help you come to understand who you are. It is my desire that your meeting with Abraham will be as meaningful for you as it continues to be for us."
With love, Esther.
Part 1. Things that we know, things that we may have forgotten, which are important for you to remember. Chapter 1. The Power of Feeling Good Now. We are called Abraham, and we are speaking to you from the non-physical dimension. Of course, you must understand that you also have come forth from the non-physical dimension, so we are not so different from one another. Your physical world has come forth from the projection of the non-physical. In fact, you and your physical world are extensions of the non-physical source energy. In this non-physical realm, we do not use words, for we do not require language. We also do not have tongues with which to speak or ears with which to hear, although we do communicate perfectly with one another. Our non-physical language is one of vibration, and our non-physical communities or families are those of intention. In other words, we radiate that which we are, vibrationally, and others of like intent assemble. That is also true of your physical world, although most of you have forgotten that this is so. Abraham is a family of non-physical beings naturally assembled by our powerful intention to remind you, our physical extensions, of the laws of the universe that govern all things. It is our intention to help you remember that you are extensions of source energy, that you are blessed, loved beings, and that you have come forth into this physical time-space reality to joyously create. All who are physically focused have non-physical counterparts. There is no exception to that. All who are physically focused have access to the broader perspective of that which is non-physical. There is no exception to that. But most physical beings have become so distracted by the physical nature of your planet that you have developed strong patterns of resistance that thwart your clear connection to your own source. It is our intention to help those who are asking to remember that connection. While all physical humans have access to clear communication from the non-physical, most are not consciously aware of it, and often, even when you are aware that it is possible, you hold habits of thought that act as resistance, hindering your ability to consciously interact. However, on occasion, a clear channel of communication opens and we are able to convey our understanding, vibrationally, to someone who can clearly receive it and translate it. And that is what is happening here through Esther. We offer our knowing, vibrationally, in a way that is similar to what you understand as radio signals, and Esther receives those vibrations and translates them into the physical word equivalent. There are not, however, adequate physical words to convey our satisfaction and joy in being able to offer our knowing to you in this way at this time. It is our powerful desire that you be pleased with where you are right now, in this moment, no matter where you are. We understand how strange these words must sound to you if you are standing in a place that seems far from where you want to be, but it is our absolute promise to you that when you understand the power of feeling good now, no matter what, you will hold the key to the achievement of any state of being, any state of health, any state of wealth, or any state of anything that you desire. These pages are specifically written to give you a better understanding of yourself and of everyone else around you, and you may find some of that helpful, but words really do not teach. Your true knowledge comes from your own life experience, and while you will be a constant gatherer of experience and knowledge, your life is not only about that. It is about fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. Your life is about the continuing expression of who you truly are. You only hear what you are ready to hear. We are talking to you at many levels of your awareness, all at the same time, but you will only receive whatever you are now ready to receive. Everyone will not get the same thing from this book, but every reading of this book will net you something more. This is a book that will be read many times by those who understand its power. It is a book that will help physical beings understand their relationship to God and to all that they really are. This is a book that will help you understand who you really are, who you have been, where you are going, and all that you continue to be. This book will help you understand that you never, ever get it done. It will help you understand your relationship with your history and with your future. But most important, it will awaken within you your awareness of the potency of your powerful now. You will learn how you are the creator of your own experience and why all of your power is in your now. And ultimately, this book will lead you to an understanding of your emotional guidance system and to an understanding of your vibrational set point. Here you will find a series of processes that will assist you in reconnecting with the non-physical part of yourself, processes that will help you in turn achieving anything you desire. And as you apply these processes, and as your memory awakens to the powerful laws of the universe, your naturally joyful zest for life will return. Chapter 2. We are keeping our promise to you. We are reminding you of who you are. Do you know what you want? Do you know that you are the creator of your own experience? Are you enjoying the evolution of your desire? Do you feel the freshness of a new desire pulsing within you? If you are among the rare humans who answered, "Yes, I'm enjoying the evolution of my desire. I feel wonderful as I stand in this place where many things that I desire have not yet come to me," then you understand who you are and what this physical life experience is really all about. But if you are, as most humans are, feeling unhappy about your unfulfilled desires, if you have a desire for more money but you find yourself in a continual state of shortage, if you are not satisfied with your job situation but you feel stuck and cannot see any way of improving it, if your relationships are not satisfying, or if the dream relationship that you have desired for as long as you can remember continues to be just out of reach, if your body does not feel or look the way you would like, then there are some very important and rather easy to understand things that we would like to convey to you here. We would like to give you this information because we want you to find your way to all things that you desire, but that is really only a small part of our reason. For we understand that even when you have achieved everything on your current list of things that you desire, there will be another list, even longer and more expansive, to take its place. So, this book is not being written to assist you in getting everything you want checked off your list, for we understand the impossible nature of that endeavor. We write this book to reawaken within you your memory of the power and inevitable success that pulses through the core of that which you really are. We write this book to assist you in returning to your place of optimism, positive expectation, and expanding joy, and to remind you that there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. We write this book because we promised you we would, and now, as you hold this book in your hands, you are completing a promise you made as well. You said, "I will live in joy." You said, "I will go forth into the non-physical time-space reality among other beings, and I will assume an identity with a clear and specific perspective. I will learn to see myself from that point of view, and I will enjoy being seen as that point of view." You said, "I will observe what surrounds me, and my response to what I observe will cause my own valuable personal preferences to be born." You said, "I will know the value of my preferences. I will know the value of my perspective." And then you said, and this is the most important part of all, "I will always feel the power and value of my own personal perspective, for the non-physical energy that creates worlds will flow through my decisions, my intentions, and my every thought, for the creation of that which I set into motion from my perspective." You knew then, before your physical birth, that you were source energy, specifically focused in this physical body, and you knew that the physical person you would become could never be separated from that which you came from. You understood then your eternal connection to that source energy. You said, "I will love pouring myself into this physical body, into physical time-space reality, for that environment will cause me to focus the powerful energy that is me into something more specific, and in the specifics of that focus, there will be powerful motion forward and joy We know who you are. So you came forth into this wonderful body, remembering the joyous, powerful nature that is you, knowing that you would always remember the splendor of the source from which you came, and knowing that you could never lose your connection to that source. So now, here we are, helping you remember that no matter how you may feel right now, you cannot lose your connection to that source. We are here to help you remember the powerful nature that is you, and to assist you in returning to that confident, joyful, always looking for something else wonderful to turn your attention to person that is you. Since we know who you are, we will easily help you remember who you are. Since you are where you came from, we will easily remind you of where you have come from. Since we know what you desire, we will easily guide you to help yourself to that which you desire. There is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. We want you to remember that there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have, and we want to assist you in achieving that. But we love where you are right now, even if you do not, because we understand how joyful the journey from where you are to where you want to go will be. We want to help you leave behind any perceptions that you have picked up along your physical trail that are thwarting your joy and power, and we want to help you reactivate the powerful knowing that pulses within the very core of that which you are. So relax and enjoy this easy-paced journey to rediscovering who you really are. It is our desire that by the time you reach the end of this book, you will know yourself as we know you, and you will love yourself as we love you, and that you will be enjoying your life as we are enjoying your life. Chapter 3. You Do Create Your Own Reality. Not so very long ago, our friends Jerry and Esther were introduced to this phrase, "You are the creator of your own reality." They had discovered the Seth books by Jane Roberts. For them, it was both an exciting prospect and a troubling one, for, like so many of our physical friends, they did desire creative control of their own experience, but they were plagued with some basic questions. Is it really all right for us to choose the reality that we create? And if it is appropriate for us to do so, how do we go about doing it? The basis of your life is absolute freedom. You were born with an innate knowledge that you do create your own reality, and, in fact, that knowledge is so basic within you that when someone attempts to thwart your own creation, you feel an immediate discord within yourself. You were born knowing that you are the creator of your own reality, and although that desire to do so pulsed within you in a powerful way, when you began to integrate into your society, you began to accept much of the same pictures that others held of the way your life should unfold. But still, within you today lives the knowledge that you are the creator of your own life experience. That absolute freedom exists as the basis of your true experience, and that ultimately the creation of your life experience is absolutely and only up to you. You have never enjoyed someone else telling you what to do. You have never enjoyed being dissuaded from your own powerful impulses. But over time, with enough pressure from those who surrounded you, who seemed convinced that their practiced way was more valid than your way, and therefore ultimately better, you gradually began to release your determination to guide your own life. You often found it easier just to adapt to their ideas of what was best for you, rather than trying to figure it out for yourself. But in all this adapting to your society's attempts to make you fit in, and in your own attempt to find less trouble, you have unwittingly relinquished your most basic foundation, your total and absolute freedom to create. You have not given up this freedom easily, however, and, in fact, you can never truly release it, for it exists as the most basic tenet of your very being. Still, in your attempt to release it for the sake of getting along, or in your hopeless resignation that you have no other choice than to give up your powerful right to choose, you have gone crossways to your natural current and contrary to your very soul. No one else can create in your experience. This book is about your realignment with Source Energy. It is about your reawakening to the clarity, goodness, and power that is really who you are. It is written to assist you in consciously returning to the knowledge that you are free, and you always have been free, and that you always will be free to make your own choices. There is no satisfaction in allowing someone else to attempt to create your reality. In fact, it is not possible for anyone else to create your reality. Once you have realigned with eternal forces and universal laws, and with that which is truly the source of that which you are, then joyous creation beyond physical description awaits you, for you are the creator of your own experience, and there is such satisfaction in intentionally guiding your own life. You are eternal beings in physical form. You are eternal beings who have chosen to participate in this specific physical life experience for many wonderful reasons. And this time-space reality on planet Earth serves as a platform in which you are able to focus your perspective for the purpose of specific creation. You are eternal consciousness, currently in this wonderful physical body, for the thrill and exhilaration of specific focus and creation. The physical being that you define as you stands on the leading edge of thought, while consciousness, which is really your source, pours through you. And in those moments of inexpressible elation, those are the times when you are wide open and truly allowing your source to express through you. Sometimes you are fully allowing the true nature of your being to flow through you, and sometimes you do not allow it to flow. This book is written to help you understand that you have the ability to always allow your true nature to pour through you, and that as you learn to consciously allow your full connection with the you that is your source, your experience will be one of absolute joy. By consciously choosing the direction of your thoughts, you can be in constant connection with Source Energy, with God, with joy, and with all that you consider to be good. Absolute well-being is the basis of your universe. Well-being is the basis of this universe. Well-being is the basis of all that is. It flows to you and through you. You have only to allow it. Like the air you breathe, you have only to open, relax, and draw it into your being. This book is about consciously allowing your natural connection to the stream of well-being. It is about remembering who you really are, so that you can get on with the creation of your life experience in the way you intended before you came forth into this physical body and into this magnificent leading-edge experience, where you fully intended to express your freedom in endless, joyous, co-creative ways. Can you understand how much well-being is flowing to you? Do you understand how much orchestration of circumstances and events on your behalf is available to you? Do you understand how adored you are? Do you understand how the creation of this planet, the creation of this universe, fits together for the perfection of your experience? Do you understand how beloved you are, how blessed you are, how adored you are, and what an integral part of this creative process you are? We want you to. We want you to begin to understand the blessed nature of your being, and we want you to begin to look for the evidence of it, because we are showing it to you in every moment that you will allow yourselves to see it. In the lining up of lovers, money, fulfilling experiences, and beautiful things for you to see. In the lining up of circumstances and events. And in the lining up of amazing co-creative experiences where you are rendezvousing with one another for no other reason than for the fantastically important reason of fulfilling, satisfying, and pleasing yourself and giving yourself joy in the moment. Your motion forward is inevitable. It must be. You cannot help but move forward. But you are not here on a quest to move forward. You are here to experience outrageous joy. That is why you are here. Chapter 4. How can I get there from here? Perhaps the question we hear most often from our physical friends is,
Why is it taking me so long to get what I want? It is not because you do not want it enough. It's not because you're not intelligent enough. It is not because you are not worthy enough. It is not because fate is against you.